Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was about this time of year, during my vicarage year, when the call came in to the church office. It was classic. My senior pastor was gone that day, somewhere on vacation or perhaps out of town for a conference, and so the vicar fielded the phone call. The phone call was from the local hospice center, asking if a Lutheran pastor could come and pray with a man who was dying. I explained that I was not a pastor, was no called and ordained servant of the word, just a lowly vicar. The woman on the other end of the phone was not impressed. She said, "Will you still come?" Okay, green and eager to have a new experience as a vicar, I drove over to the hospice center. Driving onto their little campus, I saw lush, beautiful gardens. Walking in the front door, I saw a bird atrium with birds all over, chirping, peaceful music playing. I was surprised, I remember, at how good it smelled, because I had been to plenty of hospitals and nursing homes. The people all wore pleasant smiles. But as I entered the room of the dying man, I saw one who was gaunt and emaciated, who in the very last days of death had chapped and parched lips, the skin of his lips flaking off. He wasn't able to acknowledge me. Rather, he was struggling for his very last breaths. His granddaughter greeted me and explained that this man was a Lutheran, a strong believer in Jesus, and would have wanted a Lutheran pastor to have a prayer at his very last moments. And so, as the green young vicar, I took in my left hand his limp, pale, barely lifeless hand, and in my other, the hand of the granddaughter, and I prayed the most orthodox and hopefully comforting prayer that I could muster. After that prayer, after the amen, the man took one more breath, a gurgling, short breath, and then he died. I don't remember what happened after that. I'm sure that I spent some time talking to the granddaughter and bringing more words of comfort. I'm sure that I spoke with the hospice workers. The next memory, though, that I have was sitting in my car, unable to drive out of their parking lot, wondering what had just happened. The experience of death brought grief, many questions. What just happened? What happened to this man's body when he took that last breath? What happened to his soul or his spirit? Would I be able to do this regularly as a pastor? Those moments where we stare death face to face cause us to ask lots of questions. Death is a part, this side of the great curse, of all human beings. And throughout the ages, many people have undertaken to give an account of what happens at death. From the great Psalms of the Hebrew Scriptures to the Egyptian Book of the Dead, from our New Testament writings, which have plenty to say about death, to the Greek speculations about the immortality of the soul, from books in the Middle Ages on the Ars Moriendi, the art of dying, to lots of speculation in the East about the transmigration of souls, many, indeed, perhaps all human beings have contemplated, even speculated, about death. And the question for all of us is, what account will we give when someone turns to us and asks, what just happened? What is this thing called death? It was to people much like us, the Thessalonian Christians, that the Apostle Paul set out to write when he wrote the words of our text that were just read. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or those who have fallen asleep. We do not want you to grieve like those who have no hope. What did Paul mean there, those who have no hope? Was he talking about this emotional sort of grief that sort of takes over the body, sobbing uncontrollably? Perhaps. But I wonder if Paul had in mind rather all of the speculation that happens around death. Those who grieve as those who have no hope are those who, in the face of death, love to speculate. Indeed, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, in her book on death and dying, says that the first stage of grief is denial. A few weeks ago, I was at the British Library. I was spending some time there looking through a few of their exhibits, and they had an exhibit going on the Great War, the First World War, and there was a letter written by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was writing to his mother about his son who had been sent off to the Great War. And Doyle said, I'm worried about him if he suffers, if he endures bodily pain. But then he says this, I'm not worried about his spirit, though. Because of this wonderful belief in spiritualism, I know that my son's spirit will live on no matter what. Grieving as someone who had no hope that a body who died would actually rise up again and live. St. Paul has a much greater, a much more concrete comfort for us Christians. For we believe that Jesus died and that God raised him to life. If we believe that, then those who have fallen asleep, who have died Jesus' death, will be raised again to new life in Jesus' resurrection. As I think about death, perhaps the only thing that is comforting is to go through it with someone who has already been there. Jesus, who died. Who died our death and laid in our grave, making it holy. And who was raised. It's that kind of one that I would want to experience death and resurrection with. Someone who could offer me a concrete word. And that's what Paul says. We have the Logos Kyriou, the concrete word of the Lord. Commentators differ on whether this was a general word of the Lord, a general word about the Lord and his death and resurrection, or whether it was actual words that Jesus spoke. For 1 Thessalonians 4 sound a lot like the eschatological discourses in Matthew 24 and 25. But no matter, it's the word of the Lord that Paul points us to, that gives great comfort as we who contemplate death are invited, and you will be invited, just like I was as a vicar, to speak words of comfort to those who mourn. Paul wrote that we who are living, who are left at the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. They will first be raised to new life, and then we will all together be taken to be with the Lord. But the author of those words, we who are living, who are still left, the Apostle Paul has himself fallen asleep, as have many Christians over the last 2,000 years that took up these words, we who are still living. Today is our day. And we who are living, who are still left at the return of Jesus, we will not precede those who have fallen asleep, but we can give great hope and comfort to those who ask about the fallen asleep ones. They will first be raised like Jesus was raised, and then all together we will be with the Lord. May we take up these great words of comfort and comfort those who mourn the dying, even as we await the return of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.